Today, we celebrate the feast of the holy name of Jesus. And as we all know, in Hebrew, the name of Jesus means Savior. That identifies our Lord whole and entire. Our Lord and Savior came down from heaven to save us from our sins, to save us in the fires of hell, and to open the gates of heaven, and provide for us all the helps that we need to get to heaven. On this feast, we are reminded of the reverence that we should give to the holy name. In fact, if you watch the priest carefully at the altar, whenever he pronounces the name of Jesus, he bows his head. We all know that when our Lord was teaching his apostles to pray and his followers to pray, he said, "Ask anything of the Father in my name. Ask anything of the Father in my name, and he will grant it to you." And that is the reason why we always conclude our prayers, "Per Dominum Nostrum Jesum Christum Filium Tuum," through our Lord Jesus Christ. We always pray through the name of Christ, Jesus. On this feast of the holy name, we also are reminded about the second commandment. Now, God gave us 10 commandments. He can't add anything to it. These are all our obligations. The first three, because God is most important, God comes first. And what does God ask of us? Three things. Worship the true God, not false gods. Don't take his name in vain. And keep holy the Lord's day. Three things. How important it is that we reverence the name of God. We don't use God's name out of anger or surprise. We don't speak of the things of God irreverently. That's always been a wonder to me when someone is angry. Why did they take the name of God in vain? Not just 2026, but this goes back to the time of Moses. Why would people dare in anger to use God's name? That doesn't make any sense. When you get mad, why don't you use like, "Oh, Trump," or "Oh, Biden," you know, or something like that. Why do we take God's name in vain? We shouldn't. Let's love and respect our divine Savior for all that he's done for us and the great love he's had for us. The other thing I want to speak about, I know some of you will not be here for the Feast of the Epiphany. You got to work, and people live at a distance. But the word Epiphany means manifestation. And it represents how God revealed himself to the Gentiles, the non-chosen people. Who were these magi? They were certainly men of goodwill. They were certainly looking for the will of God. And when the star appeared that had foretold the birth of the Messiah, they recognized it. You often have heard me speak in sermons about prophecies. Well, that was a prophecy. The first five books of the Old Testament are the Pentateuch: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In the book of Numbers, it was foretold, with the coming of the Messiah, a new star would appear. Now, how is it that the Magi knew this? Well, I was reading something just this morning. We have to understand that when the Jews were conquered by the Babylonians and taken into captivity, Daniel the prophet spoke about the coming Messiah. And when he preached to the Jews, there were also non-Jews, Gentiles, who heard these things. And these things were remembered and carried down and carefully kept in the back of their minds. So when this star appeared in the sky, those Magi knew this is the sign that a star would rise up out of Jacob. Now, when we think of the Magi, we can just remind ourselves of this. What must have been people thinking about the Magi? Where are you going? What are you about? Well, we see the star in the sky. We believe that this is a manifestation of the birth of the newborn King of the Jews. And we're going to follow that star, and we're going to go and worship him. You can imagine maybe some of the people thinking, really? Are you okay in the head? Now the Magi follow the star, and the star disappears, and they get to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the holy city. The temple of God is there. And when they come in, they say, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star, and he's become to worship him. And no one knows anything about this. We read of in the Gospel of St. Matthew, King Herod was disturbed. And all of Jerusalem was disturbed. The newborn king of the Jews, the Messiah. Now we mentioned about Herod. Herod was a pagan. And he didn't know anything about scripture. So he went to the Jewish priests and said, where is the Messiah to be born? And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. The prophet Micah had foretold that. The interesting thing, the Magi are told to go to Bethlehem. And when they leave Jerusalem, it's only like a traveling about 5 or 6 miles. The star reappears, and the star hovers right over where our Lord was born. One of the things that I've always wondered about, we don't read in the Gospel that anybody from Jerusalem came with them. Once again, we see, even in the time of Christ, the difference. All of Jerusalem was in a stir. The Messiah has been born. These men come to worship him. Anybody make any effort to follow them? To accompany them? No. No, they're too busy. Got too many other things to do. Yeah, I don't know about this story. Yeah, it sounds pretty far-fetched to me. Magi, they persevere despite indifference. And this is where we really see them being men of faith. Outwardly, what do they see? They see a humble, feeble child, an infant, with a poor mother and father, foster father St. Joseph, the mother, the Virgin Mary. The surroundings, everything speaks of poverty and humility. And yet, that didn't disturb them. And what do we read? In entering, they fell down and worshipped him. They offered him gifts, gold, because indeed he was king. Frankincense, because he was truly God. And in fact, in Israel, you offer no incense to anyone except for Jehovah, for God. And myrrh, because they recognize him as true man, and this was for his burial. When we think of the Magi's gifts, we are reminded that these were men of faith, and what wonderful graces were operating in their soul. We can be inspired by the Holy Magi. In fact, the Magi, their relics, are in the Cologne Cathedral in Germany. I've seen that. Beautiful, ornate, just lined with gold and studded with gems. The three Magi are honored as saints. And these were holy men who cooperated with God's grace. What can we learn from this? First of all, we can learn from this that, as we read so often in this past Christmas season, beloved, the grace of God our Savior has appeared to all men. But do all men cooperate? No. In fact, at the end of the Mass, when we recite the Gospel of St. John, he was in the world. St. John writes about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. To me, that is just unimaginable. This unique event in the history of mankind, the Son of God comes into the world, most people don't know. The majority of people don't know. And even amongst the Jews, and his own received him not. That is really, really unimaginable. How to comprehend that? They had waited, the Jews had waited for so many centuries and centuries and centuries, thousands of years. And when he comes, And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So in this Feast of Epiphany coming up on Tuesday, let us learn from the Magi to cooperate with God's grace. When the will of God, the star, is given to us, let us follow the will of God. Let us do the will of God. And let's do that even despite indifference that might surround us. Because as it was in our Lord's time, so it is today. So many people are so indifferent about trying to get to heaven, save their soul, live a good life. Many people are very, very indifferent to that. And we can't allow that indifference to affect us. But the most important thing, what the Magi teach us, is perseverance. The star disappeared. What a disappointment. They've been traveling for so long. They've gone through all these hardships, and the star's gone. No, they didn't throw in the towel and give up. No, they inquired. And they were given that answer. Go to Bethlehem. That's where the scriptures say he'll be born. And so they did, and so they were rewarded. We need, my dear friends in Christ, to persevere. These are difficult times, very sinful, immoral times, but we need to persevere. Stick in there. Pray every day. Receive the sacraments fervently. Keep God's commandments. Don't cut any corners. And let the star of our faith, the star of the will of God, lead us and guide us through the darkness of this dark and immoral world. And if we do, if we persevere, we will be rewarded just like the Holy Magi. So we have the Feast of the Epiphany coming up today. As I said, is the Feast of the Holy Name. I would like to recommend that we always say the name of Jesus with reverence, and that we bow our head just slightly out of reverence for his holy name. Remember, our Lord's name is terrible to hell in time of temptation. Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Just to say their holy names, the Holy Family's names, to dispel the temptation. Let us also remember, too, St. Bernard beautifully in his sermon on the Feast of the Holy Name spoke about how our Lord's name is like oil poured out. As olive oil is light, used for lamps, so is the name of Jesus a light to the world, a light to us. As it is food, it will strengthen our soul with God's grace. And is also used for healing. In the time of our Lord, when he spoke about the Good Samaritan, came across the man that was beaten, he put oil and wine on the man's wounds. And our Lord's word, his holy name, can heal us. Heal the evils and heal the illness of our soul. So let us always speak of the name of Jesus with love, reverence and love. For Jesus, truly, his name means everything to us. It means Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.